How many of you are excited? Yes? Yeah? We can do better than that. Yeah? We can do better than that. How many of you are excited to follow the Lord Jesus? Yeah, this morning. Yeah? Yes. The message this morning is captivity to Christ, and we are on the Route 66 series. Okay? Captivity to Christ. We're looking at the latter prophets. We look at the former prophets last time. So you're in for a treat, and I'm glad you're here because God has been working with me the whole week to give you what He has prepared for you. So I'm excited. I was telling in our office, our office assistant, that God's working, and it will be an exciting Sunday. So as I was planning and preparing for captivity to Christ, from exile to the Lord Jesus Christ, I saw a book in my office. It says Exile to Christ. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? You know, and I picked up to read a little bit of that book. And then I went to research. This is one thing I try to do. I may not be successful often, but this is what I try to do. When I browse in the internet, I look for something that will inspire me. So I'll look for something that will inspire me. That's the first thing I would look. And then I will read something that will inspire me. And the second thing that I'll look is I will read some information that's going to help me in my ministry. And then the other one is for just for fun. I will look an article that is just for fun reading. So after I prayed, read the Bible, read some of the writings by other Christian leaders, then it took me to one place. And it's about a judge. This happened on April 13. Okay, so it's just this April 13. And the judge Oliveira. The story touched me, and I want to share this with you. So there is this guy who has been on tour 4 or 5 times to Afghanistan, Iraq, and he had received at least 3 Purple Hearts and many commendations for all the things that he has done for this country. He was near death, explosion, IEDs, he survived all those things. But when he come back here, he struggled. He struggled with the effect of the war, PTSD. So in order to overcome that, he turned to alcohol. And he struggled with drinking. Long story short, he was arrested for DUI. And he has to serve time. So on the day that the judge sentenced him, he said, you're going to serve time and do community service. And the judge saw that he was trembling in front of him, shaking, trembling. And he was thinking, I cannot let this man go and spend in prison alone because his PTSD will kick in. It's not going to be safe for him. So they went out. He followed the guy. And the guy looked at him and said, Judge, where are we going? And the judge said, I'm coming with you. Let's go finish our sentence. And the judge spent the whole night in jail with that veteran. And they talk. They talk about war. Afghanistan, Iraq. Because the judge was also a veteran. And they spent the night there. The judge had compassion on this guy. For me, the Old Testament and the prophets are not the story of the prophets. People say God is cruel, God is judgmental, God is hard. But to me, I have never met a compassionate God like the God of Abraham. I don't know what other people are talking about. The God that is harsh and bitter and angry. The God that I know has been full of love and compassion. You are touched by this story of a human judge that spent in jail with a veteran. But you know, God, our judge, our perfect judge, what with his people when they were in slavery in Egypt. He was there when they were enslaved. He spent time with them. When the people were lost and wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, our compassionate God, the perfect judge, wandered with them for 40 years. When they were in captivity in Babylon, 50 years. And then Assyria, 25 years or so. He was there in Babylon in captivity. He spent the time with them. He didn't abandon them. And the story of the latter prophets is God's story. That he is a perfect judge, but he's also a compassionate God. Just as the judge did not abandon this guy, because shaking and trembling, the God who cared for the sparrows in the air and the grass and the flowers that will wither by the day, how much more does he care for us? That's what I read in the Old Testament. It's not about the earth opening and swallowing up the people. It's about God's compassion, God's story, that he wants us to be with him. The prophets were not fortune tellers. They spoke the truth on current events. Those are the prophets. When you see the prophets, people treat them as fortune tellers, predicting what's going to come. That's part of it, but they're not fortune tellers. They were not soothsayers. They described the impending good and evil with certainty. It wasn't vague. Why do they do that? It's because they want to restore and redeem those who are in exile. They were seeking the laws and persuading people to return to the Lord. If you return to God, you will have the favor of God. If you continue down the path of disobedience, you're going to suffer. It was not a judgment. They were not being mean. They were not being angry. They were telling the truth. That if you stretch out your hand by the fire will burn you. Don't do that. Who were the latter prophets? There were three major prophets. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Isaiah. Those were the three major prophets. And then there were the 12 other minor prophets. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zechariah, Malachi. 12 minor prophets and major. It was not because they were not important. Major and minor was described because of the extent of the work that they write. Isaiah has a big portion. Ezekiel has. Jeremiah has. Amos, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Those were little minor works. That's why it said minor and major prophets. Let me ask you a question. who is the most quoted prophet by the Lord Jesus Christ? Which prophet he quote a lot? I'll give you a candy later. Isaiah. You read Isaiah all the time. Jesus used Isaiah. It's not a thing of the past. It's the word of the prophets. It's not a thing of the past. It's relevant today. It will be tomorrow. It will be tomorrow. And we know that the sins, the prophets were unpopular. They were not popular. Because why? Because sin is not popular. Church, stay away from preaching about sin because sin is not popular. We don't want to be bit down again. We had a rough week. We don't want to come and listen about how bad we are. Just tell us something that we're good. Repentance is not popular. I tell my 4-year-old daughter to say sorry when she makes a mistake. She won't say. It's not popular. You ask her. You say, no, no. Judgment is not popular. We want to go scot-free. We don't want to have the consequences of our mistakes. Prophets were not popular, my friends. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. Prophets were hated. They were hated. But who are these prophets? You think that the prophets were, you know, crazy, weird hair, long bearded thing, and they eat crazy food? You know, maybe they're true. But not all prophets were like that. You know, Jeremiah, he was a young guy. Jeremiah was a youth. And when God come and called him to be a prophet, you know what he said? He said, but I'm just a youth. I cannot go. I cannot speak for you. And what did God say? But I chose you in your mother's womb. I had chosen you in your mother's womb that you will be my prophet. And Jeremiah said, I can't speak for you. And he tried to go away. But what happened? What happened? Is that the word of God was like fire in his body. It wasn't in bone. It was fire, and he can't hold it. And he said, because it was like fire, I got to speak the word of God, regardless of how young I am. God can use anyone. God can use young people here this morning. Long hair, long beard is not a qualification to be a prophet. His word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not hold it back. Jeremiah was a young man when he took the office of a prophet. Are you willing to step up to the plate when God calls you? Santa Clara First Baptist Church. Are you willing to step up to the plate and take a hit for the team if necessary? Because Jeremiah was hated. He took a lot of ball for God. He was thrown in prison, in jail. He was thrown into the pit to die. He took it all for the Lord. Why? To speak the truth. That if you sin, you will suffer. That if you disobey God, disaster will strike. He was hated for telling the truth. Are you willing to tell the truth? Are you telling the truth? Today, telling the truth is not important. It's hard. When people ask you, you can't give a right answer. Are you a Democrat? Am I going to offend him? Are you a Republican? Do you follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think Jesus is the only way? I don't want to offend. I have to be politically correct. Do you tell the truth? What were the prophets? What were their messages? See, their messages was that if you disregard God's way, disaster will strike. Why is this bad? Why is this bad? I mean, do you want disaster to strike on other people? So why telling this is bad and unpopular when you know that people are going to suffer? See, if you repent from sin, you will not suffer. If you return to God, you will have God's favor. If not, you will reap the divine judgment. Why is that hard for us to tell? Where have we come? Where have we been? What are we now that we are afraid to speak the truth? The Word of God says that the church is the pillar of truth. This is what they say: wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Man, when my father was treating cancer, he had bone cancer, ravaged all his body. He was in severe pain. I was about 11 years old. My mom and dad had gone to the hospital. I was taking care of my two sisters and my brother. They were 9, 7, 5. I had to take care of my sisters and brother when my mom and dad were out there treating cancer. One evening, before the dusk, there was a man that came. And he told my mom and dad, this is the story told by my mom when my father had passed, and say, I want you guys to go home. Go and call a prayer meeting. My uncle, he married another woman, had kids, and this was tearing up the whole family. So much anger, bitterness, hatred, even among kids, all of us, the whole family was infected. My father was dying of cancer. He was the pastor of the church. He stopped the treatment. He came home. He called for a family meeting. I was there. He called the two wives. Legal, illegal, I don't know. We had a prayer meeting, and my father shared about truth, sin, repentance, restoration. All night. I was too tired that I almost went to sleep. There was a breakthrough. Right before it ended for a prayer, one of my uncles, the other woman, she broke down. She started crying. And that night there was forgiveness. There was restoration, asking for forgiveness. They went to the church. Elders talked to them, asked for forgiveness. They went to the body, the whole church, and there was forgiveness. You know, my father died soon after that. But that's what I remember, with joy. Obeying the Lord to speak the truth in difficult situations. Restoring people and bringing families together, that the children can grow up in wellness and health and away from bitterness and hatred, infecting and affecting their whole life. Isn't that what the church is called for? That's what the prophets were doing. Why is that so bad? that you want your son and daughter to grow up healthy and well spiritually, and to say if you do the sin and disobey God, this will ravage your life as a cancer. Why is that so bad? Isn't restoration better than conflict? Isn't redemption better than being lost? Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Turn from evil ways and enjoy God's favor. It's a promise of deliverance from sin. It's a promise of comfort and pardon. It's a promise of the coming of the Messiah. And Ezekiel wrote about these things. Ezekiel wrote about the millennial temple. He described the temple. Once you start reading from Ezekiel 40, 43 onwards, the millennial temples would describe what the temple of God would look like. And his voice was like the sound of many waters, and the earth shone with his glory. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The youth are learning about the temple and the throne of God in Revelation chapter 4. How perfect worship took place in the throne room of God. The prophets were talking about these things, that one of these days, we will be soaked in the glory of God, filled in the glory of God, with the Shekinah glory of God, and we will be in the presence of the Lord, worshiping Him in glory, glorifying Him. That's what the prophets were talking about. And they asked a question, you know, do you seek justice? Do you speak for the fatherless? Do you speak for the widow? Do you stand up against the oppressor? That's what the prophets do. And he's asking Santa Clara First Baptist Church, do you speak for the orphans? Do you speak for the widows? Do you defend the fatherless? Young people, do you stand up for your friends who are being bullied in your school? Or you just wander away and join them and mock them? Join with your peer to be cool. That you do things to your friends, turn away from them and not look at them. Or do you stand up for them? As God's follower, as the follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, as a young prophet, as an older prophet, are you being a prophet where you are? That you're defending the weak and the poor and the down and out. That's what the prophets were preaching. I saw my mother growing up, single mother. She never remarried. I was 11 years old. Life was not easy, taking care of 4 kids. When I was in university, people had come. We were in a place where there were a lot of extortion. It's like paying money for protection. You pay to many rebels group there, and they come to collect money from my mom. There is a law there, you will not collect taxes from widows. But they did, from my mom. But there was a man that stood up, I remember, going to those military commanders and say, she's a widow. My wife's mother grew up single mother. Their husband's family didn't want her because she was a believer. And her mother's parents were sad because the grandfather was a pastor, marrying a non-believer. It was a hard life. It took. So the husband divorced her because she was a Christian. my wife and mother grew up by themselves. It took them to come back to church because of my wife. Because my wife found a church when she was about 15 years old and the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came back to church and restored and healed. You know, they grew up, they had a good life. Both of them had money. You know, they do well. They are upper middle class. They don't lack anything. But they lack the love of God. And they found it in the church, in the body of Christ. Aren't church supposed to reach out to single mothers instead of being outcast and driven away from church? Aren't we supposed to reach out to teenagers that have a child at a young age that are pregnant, that are shunned by people? Aren't we supposed to reach them out? Isn't this a place where they can come and fall down and feel safe? What kind of a people we are? And the prophet is asking, seek out justice for them. Speak against those oppressors. Speak for the orphans. Be a mouthpiece for the widow. Are we too busy with our own life that we're not able to do that? Do you seek justice? Do you defend the poor and the weak? Do you plead for the widows and orphans? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, they all talk about the coming Messiah. They all talk about the temple of the Lord. It's a promise that God will deliver us. And we saw that in the story of the remnant. When people came back from exile, that there were people there. The remnant were there. Why are these messages relevant today? That's what I want to ask you. Why are these messages relevant for us today? Because we also have impulse to sin. You have the impulse to sin, impulse to idolatry, an invitation to rebirth, imploring Jesus is Messiah. All these are relevant. That's what the prophets did. That's what the prophets did. It all points to this, what Jesus said here. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am here. I am the way, the truth, and the life. When God came to Isaiah, Isaiah was not old either. He was about 30 years old, maybe later 20s. He said, I want to send somebody. Whom shall I send? And what did Isaiah say? Here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Are you being sent? So for prayer, right? Let's get down to business. So we're not just sitting here doing nothing. The millennials, the young 20s, young 30s are in exile. They're in exile. What are we doing about it? You think that if we tell to those who are in exile that sinning is okay, turning away from the Lord is okay, and give no path to restoration and redemption, that they will ever come back? In the end, I know that speaking the truth will matter more than watered down gospel, whitewashing it, and being politically correct. We got to tell the truth that they are in exile and there is a way to return back. One, right? They're in it. Second, why do you think they are in exile? It's because the church is in exile. The church is in exile. The church in America is in exile. We have lost our way and we're wandering round and round and round. and we can't have a message to bring those who are in exile back. You can't blame those who are in exile. There is nobody to speak the truth when that's not right. There are always a remnant and a prophet that tells the truth. Because Elijah said, I'm the only one. He wasn't the only one. There are other prophets. We have to speak the truth. The church has to find their way back to come and speak to the lost. Okay. So, I'm going to close, and the worship team is going to get ready. When I did not understand why God asked me to preach Route 66. Okay? I've been asking this question, Lord, why do you want me to do this? Why do you want me to go over to the Bible? And even last Sunday, even as I preach, I'm questioning. And then after the sermon, I say, wow, that wasn't a great preaching. I don't think anybody would be blessed. But many people came and they were touched. And I say, okay, it's God, right? But still I still questioned when I was preparing this. And I prepared again and I finished the sermon, sent the outline, finished the PowerPoint. I say, God, why am I doing this? But on Saturday he spoke to me. He spoke to me very clearly that God wants our church to speak the truth. And as clear as possible. That's why he took us to the Route 66. That this church will be biblically centered, Christ-centered, and people-centered church. I got it. I say, okay, God, I got it. I got it. We will speak the truth to those in exile, that they will return to God. Our church will not be one of the churches that are in exile. We want our church to be one of the remnant church that speaks the truth so people can find their way back home. So we can say, welcome home. We've been waiting for you all this time. You want to join me in that? Yes. Let's say welcome home. And let's stand together and worship the Lord.